beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Lead me in your love, holy. There is no one like you. There's none beside.
Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for bringing us here today, for all of the people that you brought here to worship you, Father, to hear your word. We thank you so much for these opportunities, Father. Without you, we wouldn't have it. With you, we have everything that we could ever need. We thank you so much, Father. I pray that you'll bless the sermon, that you'll bless this congregation today. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you may be seated. Welcome to everybody joining us online this morning. Hey, can we give it up one time for our worship team here? I love these guys. I think you guys do too, but I just love just the dedication and the work that gets put into everything that they do up here on a Sunday morning. And is my mic not on? My mic is on. Can you turn me up, maybe? It's on. No? Okay. Nothing? No? Okay, we have a malfunctioning mic, apparently. Can you bring me a handheld? I hate handheld mics, so we're just going to get through this. Hey, say amen. Amen. All right, cool. Welcome to everybody. We're so glad that you guys are here. So glad that you guys are tuning in online. Those of you who are tuning in online, for those of you who are new, we don't normally mess up like that on Sunday morning. So, you know, just come back and give us a try next week, too. Speaking of next week, we will be at our church picnic next week. That's going to be a great time. But before we get into announcements, just want to welcome everybody. You know, if you're a first-time guest here, we do have a goal here at SBC, and that goal is to walk beside you as you take your next steps in faith, whatever that looks like. There's so many next steps. We've all got a next step, whether you've been coming to church for 10 minutes, 10 years, or 20 years, or whatever it is, we've all got a next step. So our goal here at SBC is to walk beside you as you take that next step. Could be getting plugged in. We've got numerous different Bible studies that we have throughout the course of the week. Matter of fact, that is one of our announcements. Bible study does start back up this Wednesday night, and then every Wednesday moving forward. We've got different women's groups, and we've got young adults, we've got youth group, we've got all the different things. So if you need to get plugged in, there's something here for you to get plugged into, and we would love for you to do that. So maybe your next step is, maybe it's baptism, maybe it's whatever it is, we just want to walk beside you as you take that next step. That's our goal. So how do you do that? If you're new here, you can stop by our Connect counter on the way out. We do have a card that we would love for you to fill out, just get to know you, kind of give us a little bit of information so that we can reach out to you and see how we can, in fact, walk beside you as you take those next steps in faith. So stop by the Connect counter. If you're new here, actually, if you're a first-time guest, we do have a small gift for you. If you want to stop by the Connect counter on your way out and fill out a first-time guest card, that would be great. We just want to bless you for stopping by and seeing us here this morning, and we'd love to see you again. So, some announcements. First and foremost, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who was any single part of our event yesterday. We were able to bless over 100 families. I don't even know how many. I do know that we ran out of stuff a lot quicker than we expected to, but we were able to bless so many people yesterday at our Back to School event. It was an amazing, amazing thing, and it doesn't happen without all of you. So can you give it up for yourselves for the amazing thing that we were able to do yesterday? I don't know how many haircuts were given away, but we gave away numerous free haircuts. We gave away over 100 free backpacks and just hundreds of different random school supplies. It was amazing. And the coolest thing, well, maybe not the coolest, but one of the coolest things, it was like Wednesday night, I get a message from Ashley, and she's like, hey, we're still pretty short on socks and underwear, so we really need that. So we put out a video, I think it was on Thursday afternoon, and within 24 hours, we put out the bat signal. We said, hey, we need some more help with these socks and underwear. And within less than 24 hours, we had about $500 donated to the church to go out and get socks and underwear. Within 24 hours, it was the coolest thing that you guys all stepped up, and even some people not even in our church stepped up and said, hey, I want to help. And we were able to bless so many people yesterday. Socks, underwear, papers, folders, highlighters, book bags, haircuts. It was the coolest thing. We had a line out the door. The community was blessed. And that was the goal the whole time. So thank you to everybody that was part of that. We are so thankful that you guys are part of this church. Our mission statement here at SBC is to empower faith, build community, and to show people the love of Christ. And we did all of those things yesterday. So it was an amazing time. Thank you for everybody who was part of that. Next week, apparently I confused some people. Apparently last week I said next week will be our church picnic, but I did say the right date, Jeff Sumi. I said August 10th. I just said the wrong Sunday. So this time I'm for realsies, okay? Next Sunday is our church picnic at Butler Park. You can sign up to bring some stuff, and you don't even have to bring some stuff. If you just want to come out and enjoy, it'll be a great time. We love our church picnic. It's something we do, obviously, every year. We'll have a little bit of worship. We'll have a short little brief message, and then we'll just have some fellowship time together to eat way too much food and leave there feeling super stuffed. And then lastly, save the date for this. This is August 17th. We're going to do something a little bit new that we haven't done before here at SBC, and it's going to be what we call Family Worship Sunday, August 17th. We are not going to have our Kids City open that Sunday. Why not, you might ask? Because we want to give our children's ministry people the opportunity to have a Sunday off. They do so much every single Sunday. There are people in our children's ministry that serve there just about every single Sunday, right? And they just, they give and they give and they give. And what we want to do is we want to give them the opportunity to come out and be part of the Sunday worship experience. So what does that look like? You're going to have your kids, so I'm not going to talk as long, okay? We're going to do a little bit of a shortened message. We're going to have what we call busy bags for them. We're going to have some pictures and stuff for them to work on. And we're all going to worship together as a family on August 17th. So don't hear that and say, well, it looks like I'm not coming to church August 17th. Hear that and say, hey, I get to worship with my kids on August 17th. And if they're loud, I promise I won't even call you out. I just won't do it, okay? I actually love when I hear those things, when I hear babies crying on Sundays. And if there's a kid in here who's not real happy and maybe they're being loud, I love that because that's the heartbeat of our church. That's the future of our church. So we're super excited that we're going to get to do that. And then lastly, we always talk about giving. Giving is so important to the church. Why? Because we are here to see life change made possible through this church. We want to see people come to know Christ through SBC. We want to see people in our community experience Jesus Christ. That's why we give. So why do we give? We give to see life change made possible. So many people gave to an event yesterday that we were able to just bless people. We were able to give out information about our church. We had Milheim Church here giving out information about some things that they were doing. We were literally being the light of Jesus into our community yesterday. That's why we give. So thank you to everybody who has been giving faithfully. We've got numerous ways to give. You can see them up here on the stage. We've got our big yellow giving box out in the lobby. You can text. You can use the website. Numerous different ways to give. So thank you to everybody who gives faithfully here at SBC. So with that, we're going to go ahead and dive into our message. Who's ready this morning? Say, I'm ready. Okay, that was good. That was good. If you're online, comment, I'm ready. So I'm not going to ask you to actively participate with raised hands, for this. Normally, I always start with a question, and I ask you to like raise your hands or whatever. I'm not going to do that today, because today's question, the answer might be one that you might want to keep to yourself, okay? But the question would be, and I just want you to internalize this, again, just to be very clear. Has anybody here or tuning in online been praying to God for a miracle? You've been praying to God for something that you know he can do, that you believe he can do, that you expect him to do, but he hasn't answered your prayer yet. Some of us in this place, we're praying, we're believing, and we're waiting. And today what I want to do is I want to talk to those of us that are, in fact, waiting to hear from God. There are some of us in this room and some of us who might be tuning in online that we're praying, we're trusting, we're believing, we're relying on God to do something, but he hasn't done it yet. The reality is that some of us in this room might be stuck in what I would call spiritual frustration. Because you've been praying, because you've been waiting, because you've been trusting, and you still haven't heard from God. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you, because I always am. But sometimes, God can be frustrating to me. Ooh, pastor, did you just say that? You shouldn't say that about... I'm just being honest with you. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you would say that sometimes God can be frustrating to you too. And let me be very, 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 very clear. I'm not saying that in any type of a disrespectful way to God. What I'm saying is that I'm sometimes frustrated because I have faith in him. Because I know that he can do whatever it is that he wants to do. I get frustrated because, not because I've lost faith in him, but because I have the utmost faith in him. I get frustrated because I know that he can do what I need him to do when I need him to do it. But that's not always how God works. And I know that there are some of us in this room or some of us tuning in online that have something on our hearts that we've been talking to God about and that you've been waiting for him to respond, and he hasn't. Maybe for you it's provision. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's for your child to come back to Jesus. Maybe they're wayward and you're just praying and praying and praying that they would come back. Maybe for you, your prayer is that a loved one would come to know Jesus. You're praying, you're believing, you're seeking, but you're waiting. In my life right now, in our church, and in my personal life, and in our community, there are so many people praying and waiting. Specifically, I can think of people that are praying for God to heal their crippling anxiety, that God would defeat their depression in the name of Jesus. I've got people in my life seeking God for direction on the next step for their lives, both relationally and professionally. I've got people in my very own personal life and in our church that are praying for financial provision in their lives. We've got people that are praying for healing because the cancer is back and it's not looking so good. We've got people that are praying that their children would break the addiction of the drugs and alcohol that they're stuck in and that they would come to know Jesus. What about you? That's the question. What about you? What is that thing that you're praying to God to do that you know he can do, but he hasn't? See, everything that I just listed off there, these are all people that love Jesus. And they're all people that are praying to God, knowing that he can do exactly what they need him to do and even abundantly more than they need him to do. So why hasn't he done it? What do you do when you pray in faith and God isn't answering the way that you know he can? Well, just like any time I ask a question, I'm going to take you to the same place I always take you to get the answer. I'm going to take you to God's word. So we're going to pray really quick, and then we're going to get into this message. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would bless these words that you've given me, God. I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that if somebody in this place is in waiting for your response, God, that you would show them exactly what it is they need to do to either continue to wait or to answer their prayer, God. Lord, I pray that you would just close my mouth, that you would get me out of the way of this message, Lord, and that you would work through it. Lord, I pray for our community. I pray for our church. If there's anybody in here that is broken or just hurting or confused or lost, God, that maybe by the end of this message that they would be closer to you. Maybe they would be closer to healing. Maybe they would be closer to clarity. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you and we give you this time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So today we are wrapping up our Unshakable series where we've been looking at the life of Daniel, and we looked at Daniel's homeboys for a little bit too, right? We've looked at both of their journeys throughout this story. And today what we're going to do is we're going to go into Daniel chapter 10. And just like I always do, I'm going to give you a little bit of context before we dive in here. So in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel would have been roughly 84 to 90 years old. I know that's a weird range, but scholars would believe that he's anywhere from 84 to 90. So to me, that says like his back's probably a little stiff. Like I can relate to that. Daniel's knees are probably a little achy, right? Because he's getting up there in age, right? Anyway, that doesn't have anything to do with anything, but that's just what I think when I hear that Daniel's getting old, because my back hurts, okay? So just whatever. Anyway, Daniel chapter 10, we see Daniel have a vision, okay? And that's where we're going to pick up the text this morning. And just so you're aware, I normally read out of the NIV. This morning I'm primarily going to be out of the NLT. So if it's not reading exactly how you're used to it, don't worry. We've got it up here on the screen for you. So Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. At that time, I had eaten no rich food. No meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. So what the heck does all of that mean? Well, if you can remember where we started way back in right around 597 BC, where the evil King Nebuchadnezzar, or as we call him, what do we call him? King Nebi, right? Because nobody wants to say that word over and over and over again. So the evil King Nebi, he goes in and he conquers Jerusalem, and he takes the best of the best of the best from Jerusalem back to Babylon with the full intention of indoctrinating them into the Babylonian culture and removing their faith in their God, right? That was the whole goal. Now, Daniel was among those that were captured. We've established that over the course of the last 3 weeks, but now we're 70 years beyond that. Okay, and now we see King Cyrus come out of left field, and he's from Persia, and Persia conquers Babylon. So if I had to illustrate how this works, if you've ever seen one of those cartoons where like there's a little fish swimming and then a bigger fish comes and eats the little fish and then an even bigger fish comes and eats the other fish. You guys seen something like that? Yeah? So that's kind of what it would look like when Persia came in and conquered Babylon. Babylon was the bigger fish than Jerusalem, but then Persia was the even bigger fish and comes in and conquers Babylon. So this is a really, really good thing for the Jews, because when Persia comes in and conquers Babylon, now the king says, hey, all the Jews, King Cyrus says, all the Jews can go back to Jerusalem and they can rebuild their temple and they can rebuild their culture. So this is a really, really good thing. Daniel would have been very happy about this, but at the same time, he was conflicted. Why would he have been conflicted? Well, the Jewish people were still actively sinning against God, and they were being disobedient to God. And Daniel had a heavy burden heart about that. So what did Daniel do with this concern that he had in his heart? Did he panic? He didn't. What Daniel did was he began seeking God. He fasted. Remember we said panic should never come before prayer? We said that a few weeks ago. Well, that's what he did. Daniel started fasting for 3 weeks, and he was seeking God. And while he was seeking God in this, with this heavy burdened heart for his people, he had a vision. And this vision was a prophecy of really bad things coming their way. That's what we just read in verses 1 through 3. Something that is very, very important for us to understand is that God and Daniel, like Daniel was very, very, very close to God, right? He was very in tuned to God. You could say that Daniel was spiritually tuned to God because they were so close. A word that I would even say that Daniel, you could use to describe Daniel, might even be spiritually sensitive. That's how close he and God were. What does that mean? Let me just ask you personally. Have you ever noticed that when you're really close to God, that he speaks to your heart in different ways? Like, you can tell how close to God you are by what moves your spirit, in other words. Like, for instance, when God isn't the most important thing in my life, like, oh, you're a pastor, you can't say that. Listen, we all mess up, right? We're all human beings, right? And sometimes our priorities get messed up. And when that happens for me, something that I see happen in my life when my priorities are jacked up is that my temper has a really short fuse, right? Like, the Wi-Fi starts moving slow, I'm getting mad. Somebody in front of me is doing, like, the speed limit and not 7 to 10 to 12 more than the speed limit, I'm getting mad, right? I'm getting angry. I'm getting frustrated. When my daughter runs out of the house half naked, when I know I just got her dressed for the day, that doesn't really make me mad because it's actually kind of cute. But you get the point, right? Like, when your priorities are messed up, you tend to have, for me, again, it's my temper. But when your priorities are messed up, sometimes the rest of your life seems to get jacked up, right? So when I'm close to God, the flip side of that, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, when I'm obedient to God, when I'm truly listening to his call on my life, those things that kind of frustrate me when I'm not having my priorities in order, they, you know, they might bother me, but the things that really hurt me and the things that make me upset aren't those types of things. It's when I see people struggling. Like, when I'm close to God, I get angry by things like when the media is constantly in this pursuit of division among all of us. That really upsets me. Why does it make me mad? Because it works and it hurts God's people. That's why it makes me mad when my priorities are right. When I'm close to God, I'm really hurt by seeing people in need. I'm hurt by seeing people who don't know Jesus. So Daniel is close to God. He's in tune with God. So the things that really matter to Daniel, the things that are really bothering him, is the fact that his people are actively rejecting God. And he's concerned for them. He's hurt. He's heavy burdened. So what did he do? Well, again, I mentioned it a minute ago. We talked about the fact that you should never turn to panic before you turn to prayer. And that's exactly what Daniel did. He starts to seek God on behalf of his people because he was so heavy burdened. He was hurting for them, and he took that to God. So for 3 weeks, this is what we just read. For 3 weeks, we see Daniel fasting. He's praying. He's mourning. And he's mourning because his people are jacked up. And he's broken about it. He's hurting. So that's where we've been. Now let's fast forward just a little bit here. And we see Daniel on the bank of the Tigris River, surrounded by people. And he sees a vision. Now let's look back to the scriptures here. Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there, all alone, to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. So there's a lot there, okay? So Daniel, he has a vision. And he was surrounded by people, right? But we just read in the text that the people took off. They ran away. And maybe it was because this vision was just so much that maybe Daniel started acting a little weird. Maybe he was I don't know. Maybe he was just totally overtaken by what he was seeing and it scared the other people off. Regardless, it's now just Danny boy there. He's all by himself. Just good old Daniel chilling by himself. So here's the question. Out of the passage that we just read, who was the man in the vision? Who would this have been? The guy in the linen with the blazing eyes and the polished bronze, who would this have been? Well, there are some debates among scholars and theologians. Some people say that this could have been the archangel, while others say that this could be Jesus. Now, if this were Jesus, this would be an example of a word that I just taught you guys last week. Who remembers it? Anybody? Christophany. You're so close. You're so close. It's a Christophany, right? So what is a Christophany? A Christophany is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. And the way that theologians and scholars, I love you, Joffrey, thank you so much. The way that they would describe this would be it's an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. So what does that mean? So the Trinity has always been Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's always been that from the very beginning. And if you have a hard time understanding the Trinity, let me just break this down in the most simplest of simple forms. Who's ever seen a pretzel in their life? Anybody? You seen a pretzel? Cool. So pretzel has three holes, right? All three of those holes are woven from the same piece of dough. That is extremely bottom shelf and simplistic, but that is a very easy way to describe the Trinity. Three separate, but all the same. So the Trinity has always been. Jesus has always been part of the Trinity. He didn't take on the form of God when he was sent to his earthly mission. He has always been. We need to make sure that we understand that, okay? I think sometimes we think that Jesus started with the Christmas story, and that's not the case. It's always been Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So this is either a Christophany, or some scholars believe that this would have been a very high-ranking angel, maybe like Gabriel, okay? So based on everything that we know about this text, what Daniel was seeing, either way, it was an angelic being, and he was having a vision. And Daniel was the only one seeing this angelic being. So why is that important? Why is it important that Daniel is the only one that saw it? Well, it's important because this vision was just for Daniel. It was just for him. It wasn't for everybody else. Now, there could be a numerous list, it could be an endless list of why it wasn't for anybody else. Maybe they weren't spiritually ready to see what Daniel was gonna see. Maybe their faith wasn't right. Maybe they had something stuck in their life that they couldn't get rid of and it just wasn't right in that time for them to see the vision. Or maybe this one was just for Daniel. Maybe it was just for him. Maybe that's something that happens today. Maybe God has something that's just for you today. Maybe God is going to speak to you in a way that was literally prepared for you and you alone. Maybe it already happened. Maybe it was during worship. Maybe one of those songs that we sang spoke to you in a way that you knew it was just for you, and it confirmed something in your heart that you've been praying to God about, and now you've got your answer. Maybe it was just for you. Maybe you opened up your devotional this morning or your Bible and the words that you read permeated through your heart and your mind directly into your soul, and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was put there for you and you alone. Maybe something I'll say in this sermon, even if it's not even in my notes, or I say something weird by accident and you hear that and you receive it, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus did that just for you. God might have something special for you today, just for you. And maybe it's just for you to the point where you feel it and you hear it, and the people around you, they don't even understand it. our God is a personal God. And I believe that God is going to speak to somebody in this room or tuning in online in a very personal way today. There's going to be something, or maybe there already was something, that was prepared just for you. You know, the crazy thing about when God speaks to his people is that you might be sitting right next to your homie, like y'all came to church together, maybe you linked up here at church, right? But you're sitting together, and you hear something that I say, and to you it's like mind-blowing, earth-shattering, powerful, and to them it's like, oh, it's just another, you know, it's just Pastor Ronnie, it's just what he does, he's just saying what he says, right? They're just sitting there enjoying their coffee, eating their, you know, what do we got, chocolate chip cookies or Little Debbie cakes or whatever. They're just sitting there enjoying their snacks, which is fine. That's what they're there for. You know, sipping some coffee. God gave us coffee, I'm sure. Chocolate chip cookies have to be heavenly. I'm just saying. But to them, it's nothing new. But to you, it might change your entire world. Because our God is a personal God, and he speaks to us personally. Now, back to Daniel. Let's look at what Daniel says about being in the presence of God. Daniel chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. I know we already read verse 8, but we're going to do it again. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Now, this is really, really cool to me, okay? Daniel is in the presence of God, and he is face down. He couldn't even stand. Why? Well, because the strongest people in the world still cannot bear the presence of our God. That's why. But that's what happens to Daniel. This is one of the spiritually strongest people that we can think of. Yet he experiences Jesus or this angelic presence, and he can't even stand. And he falls to his face. The question that I would have for you is, has anybody in this room or tuning in online, have you ever experienced God in this way? Have you ever just been overwhelmed by the presence of God in your life? That's what Daniel's experiencing in this moment, in this scripture that we just read. There's been a couple of times in my life that I've experienced this, and I'm going to share a couple personal stories with you. And the first one, everybody's heard numerous times, but guess what? I'm going to tell it anyway, because that's my testimony and it's the presence of God. So maybe somebody hasn't heard this, but for me, one of the times that I felt the presence of God, I was in jail. I was in Summit County Jail, facing a bunch of time because I had been arrested for drug charges. And if they would have ran all the charges together, there's some crazy numbers that they throw out there when they're getting ready to take you to court. And there's some crazy numbers that are never a reality. But when you're looking at all this time, it's extremely scary, right? So I go to court, and I stand before the judge, and they give me a first-time offender deal because I had never been in trouble. You go big the first time, I guess, right? I had never been in trouble, so they gave me a deal. And they gave me 3 years in prison, which is still 3 years in prison, right? But that morning, as they took me back to my cell, cell 13, cell block 2A, they're leading me back to my cell, and I felt this weird, strange, totally unfamiliar feeling. And as they walked me back in silence, the only thing that I could hear was the clanking of the shackles that were holding my hands to my waist, to my feet. And it was just this weird, unknown feeling. They put me back in my cell, and I just thought, like, I must be numb from this experience that I just had. You know, I just got sentenced to prison. I must be just feeling, I don't know. But looking back, I realized that I felt the presence and the peace of God in that moment. So as I was standing in that cell, the presence of God literally filled the room. They had these little radios in the wall, and it was playing some country song, and I changed the radio. I just hit it 3 times randomly, and it landed on 95.5 The Fish, and Crowder started singing about how our God loves us. Oh, How He Loves Us, started playing through this little tiny jail cell. And for the first time in my life, I realized that Jesus didn't just love everybody else, but Jesus loved me too. And it dropped me to my knees. And the presence of God was so thick in that place that it was palpable. Everything changed in that moment. And from that point on, my life has been different, far from perfect, but different. The second one that I was thinking about as I was preparing this was November 8th, 2023, when my daughter Anaya was born. And let me be very, very clear. This wasn't just, oh, it's first-time father thing. I have two children from before I knew Jesus, and because of the actions of my past, unfortunately, they're not in my life, so it's not that kind of story. But when I held Anaya for the very first time, I'll never forget being handed my little girl, and I whispered into her ear, I whispered, "Jesus loves you." Those were the very first words Anaya ever heard her daddy speak, was, "Jesus loves you." And in that moment, I just felt this full reconciliation process, this full circle completion of getting another chance. And in that moment, I felt the presence of God that was undeniable. And it was just for me. Because I guarantee you, if you ask my wife about that moment, other than the emotion of our child being born and everything that comes with that, to her, there was probably nothing out of the ordinary. Because that moment with my little girl, it was just for me. And I felt the presence of God in that moment. Have you ever had an experience with God that was so obviously Him that you can't deny it? Have you ever felt the presence of God where it literally knocks you to your knees or you fall on your face and worship? This is what Daniel is doing in verse 10. So let's look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees." Verse 11. "And the man said to me, 'Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you.' When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling." So remember, Daniel's down in the dumps, right? He's heavy burdened. He's heartbroken for his people. He's sad. He's stressed, okay? And let's just remember that this is Daniel. This is him. He's him. He's that guy. This is the guy, the dude that just went through the flames of the fiery furnace. He denied the food that was dedicated to idols after he was starving. He sat in the light. Like, this is Daniel. This is him. He influenced four separate kings in the ways of the God of Israel. He's strong. He's always been strong. But in this moment, although it takes strength to go to God in prayer before panic, I'll acknowledge that. But in this moment, Daniel's not the strong one. Daniel's the one in need. And just like he always did, God shows up for Daniel. What did God do for Daniel? He put his hand up. He lifted him up. And Daniel said he was still trembling, but he picked him up. So what does that mean for you? It means that when we're broken and we hit our face and we seek Jesus with everything that we've got, he's going to lift you up. It's just like David said in Psalm 3:3. He said, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." God lifts those that he loves. Guys, he loves you. But you got to seek him first. We got to turn to prayer before we turn to panic. We have to commit to seeking the true lifter of lives. And when we do these things, our God will meet us at our lowest points, and he will lift us up with his mighty, powerful hand. That's good news. So, what did Daniel hear in this verse? Let's put verses 10 and 11 back up, please. It said, just then, a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees, verse 11. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. Daniel, you are very precious to God. Child of God, Christ follower, you are very precious to God. He loves you. He loves you so very much. And maybe today is the day that you hear God tell you that you are precious for the very first time. When I experienced God's presence in that jail cell, it was the first time that I ever understood John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the first time in my life, I realized it wasn't just the world, it was me too. Maybe that's today for you. Maybe that's today for you that you realize that God calls you precious. Maybe today, while the person next to you sips on their coffee and scrolls Instagram, that you're going to hear God tell you that you're precious, and it'll be the very first time in your life that you ever believe it. Maybe today will be the day that for the first time you hear that God is here for you, that God will never leave you, that he loves you, that he will never forsake you, and that he loves you so much that he sent Jesus on a rescue mission, and if it was only you, he still would have sent him. Maybe that's hitting you in a special place this morning. Maybe for the person sitting next to you, they've heard it 100 times and it's whatever. But to you, that's exactly what you needed to hear. Because it's just for you. And maybe you'll know for the first time that God hears the desires of your heart. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer. Bro, that is heavy. That is powerful. Did you see what it said? It said, since the first day, because his timing isn't always our timing. But just because his timing isn't always our timing doesn't mean that he doesn't have us, that he doesn't hear us. This verse just showed us from the very first moment that Daniel hit his face in prayer and began to seek God, that his desires were heard by God in that moment. Not the next day, not the next week, not the next month, not the next. Right then and there, God heard his cry. This is a word for somebody in this place. This is a word for somebody who's tuning in online. You've been praying for a long time, and you've got no response. This made me think of my Aunt Kathy, who prayed for me, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not even a year, but year over year over year. She prayed for me to come back to Jesus. She prayed for me to get my life right, and it took 15 years. Do you think that God didn't hear for 15 years? He heard that prayer on day one. God hears your prayer. And even if you're waiting, that doesn't mean that he doesn't hear you. He hears you in that moment. Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks. He's hurting. He's brokenhearted. He's worried about his people. He's scared. For 3 long weeks he prayed and got nothing until he did. Verse 13, this gets super cool, okay? And also, if you're new to church, this might be a little bit weird, so I'm going to explain it to you. So stick with me, okay? Verse 13, but for 21 days, The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Okay, so Daniel's praying 3 weeks. Nothing's happening. Then Jesus, or the angelic being, shows up, right? He's on his way, but then he's blocked, okay? So what happens? God sends reinforcements, and then it's go time. There's a battle happening, right? So the battle ensues, and if you're new to church, I know that this could be a little bit like, you might be like, what the heck are you talking about, dog? Like, I got no idea what you're talking about. Well, what this is this is possibly the greatest Old Testament illustration of the spiritual battle that goes on behind the scenes every single day. The Apostle Paul tells us this regarding spiritual battles in Ephesians 6:12. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Here's what that means. When you're praying, there's so much going on that you can't even see. Our earthly eyes can't see the battle that ensues when we fall on our knees and pray to God. When you're praying, God hears you. And it's very possible that he already sent your response in the form of an angel that is literally battling the forces of darkness to get to you. And I know that sounds a little crazy, but I can promise you it's God's word and it's God's relevance and it's true. This is God's word. So, the verse said, kingdom prince of Persia, right? The kingdom prince of Persia was blocking the way. What the heck is that? Well, scholars have a couple of thoughts. They could, some say that it could have just been a random spiritual dark force that was trying to stop the answer to, that God had sent to Daniel's prayer. Some say that it was a fallen angel, right? But the archangel, who's known as the protector of God's people, shows up on the scene, says, no way, bro, not today, Satan, literally, not today, judo chop. I don't know what happened, but the archangel shows up on scene and the battle ensues. So why is this relevant? What, like, this is deep, bro. Like, what are we talking about here? We're talking about spiritual, the king of Persia. Like, what is this? Why? Let me tell you why this is so powerful. Because there's people in this room, there's people who are tuning in online who have been praying and waiting and seeking God for response. And you're getting nothing. Daniel did too. If we could get padding, that'd be great. Daniel did too. Daniel waited 3 weeks. And he prayed, and he mourned, and he fasted. And he prayed, and he mourned, and he fasted. And he waited 3 weeks and saw nothing. But that didn't mean that God wasn't working in that moment. That's why for somebody in this place today, or somebody tuning in online, that this is a word just for you. It's just for you. It's just normal, everyday stuff for the person sitting next to you, but this one is speaking to your heart. It's just for you. Because you've been waiting on God. You've been seeking God. You trust God. You believe God. But it's been a little frustrating lately because you haven't heard anything. And it's been a long time. But I want you to know in this place this morning, what I want you to take with you today is just because you can't see it doesn't mean that God isn't working. Why? Because while you're waiting, God is still working. While you're waiting, while you're hitting your knees day in and day out, and while you're praying for that person that you see no change in, while you're praying for that stronghold to be broken, while you're praying for that anger and bitterness in your heart to be gone, while you're praying and you're not seeing any response, frustrated because there's something happening that we can't see with our earthly eyes. Because while you're praying, God's working. And there are literal spiritual opponents of your prayers working behind the scenes. But our God sends his powers to answer them. Not in our time, but in his. While you're praying, while you're waiting, God is still working. Stand to your feet this morning. If we could close our eyes and bow our heads, I just want to ask a quick question here this morning. Maybe that was for you this morning. Maybe this morning you were that person that I said, you know what, this one's for you. It might not be for your neighbor, but it's for you. Maybe you've been waiting on something. And maybe you've been getting frustrated, and maybe your heart is heavy, and maybe you're not sure if God is even hearing you. Child of God, he hears your cries. Follower of Jesus, he hears your prayers. And while you're waiting, he's working. I just wonder if there's anybody in this place that would say, Pastor, that's me. I'm waiting and I'm frustrated and I need you to pray for me. Is there just anybody in this room that would say that? I see the hands. Hands going up everywhere. I think we're all waiting, and I think it's easy to get frustrated when we're in that time of waiting, and sometimes it hurts. God, don't you hear me? He hears you. God, don't you want to help me? He will help you. Maybe not exactly how you think he needs to, but he will. Our God is a personal God. And this word is personal for somebody in this room this morning. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus for you. And I said it once this morning and I'll say it again. If it was just you, if you were the only one that needed saving, God would have still sent Jesus to do the job. Just for you. One way to the Father, and his name is Jesus. If you don't know Jesus in this place today, that's a personal thing that's between you and him. I can't save you. Salvation looks like saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own anymore. I'm broken. I'm a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner just like you're a sinner. But when we give our lives to Jesus, and we say, Jesus, take my life. I commit my life to you. When God looks at us, he doesn't see the sins of the flesh any longer. He sees the work that was done on the cross. And that is a free gift given to you freely. If you're in this room today and you say, I need that gift. I've never experienced that gift of salvation. I need that in my life. If you could just raise your hand so I could pray for you. I just want to pray for you. I see your hands. I see your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Nobody's going to come to you, but I would encourage you that if you have just raised your hand and said, hey, I need to know Jesus for the first time in my life, I would encourage you to stop by our Connect counter, fill out a card, let us get to know you, let us follow up with you, because this is the first step to commitment for eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to dismiss. While you are waiting, God is working. While you are waiting, God is working. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the words that we read this morning that remind us that even when we think you don't hear us, that you hear us from day one, from word one, you hear us. Lord Jesus, I pray for the hands that went up and said, you know, I've been waiting and I'm getting frustrated. And I'm still waiting and I'm trusting and I'm seeking, but I'm getting frustrated waiting for God's answer. I pray that you would speak to their heart and give them what they need to continue to seek you in this situation that they're facing. Lord, I pray for the couple of hands that went up and said, I need that relationship with Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work. work in their hearts, and that they would commit their lives to you fully. Lord, I pray over every single person here this morning and every single person tuning in online. I pray that you would speak to them, that you would meet them where they're at, and they would continue to pursue you with everything in their lives. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.